As the Lord may help us, let us commence with hymn 902. Let him who thirsts for heavenly joys come unto me, the Saviour cries, and drink at my spring head. Leave all your boasting self behind, for from the Saviour you shall find a glorious life indeed. Hymn 902.
The Holy Word of God. We will read together the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapters 12 and 13. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapters 12 and 13. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body, or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so. I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest, when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time. And being absent now, I write to you, to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you, ward, is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And may God bless that reading of his holy word to us. May he teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, once more we are favoured to gather in this house of prayer around thy word. Oh, we do seek thy presence and thy blessing upon the service here this evening. We do ask thy gracious help to us each, that thou send out thy Spirit into our hearts, that we may be moved in our affections, our desires, and that our worship may be from an honest heart. Oh, help us, Lord, to worship thee this night. Turn off our minds from the busy things of another day. Grant us the quietness from our thoughts, which are often not necessary for worship. And help us to lay aside the things that aren't necessary, and bless us with a spirit of true worship. Oh, we do pray that thou touch our hearts and draw out from us now as we come in prayer those things, Lord, which thou would have us to ask for. Lord, teach us how to pray and what to pray for. Lord, do bring before us, to our eye of faith, who it is that we approach. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. Thou knowest, Lord, the needs of each who are gathered here and those that are listening in. Thou knowest, Lord, what we need. And we do pray that thou wilt send thy Spirit and teach us how to pray. O Lord, bless us with faith as we pray. O that we might come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, thou knowest each heart. Thou knowest the longings of each heart. Thou knowest our thoughts, our intents. We pray that thou would search out our hearts. Do try us, Lord, and prove us. Lord, do create in us a clean heart. O God, renew a right spirit within us. Lord, do purge us and make us clean. Lord, may our worship be acceptable in and through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, may we view him as we come to the throne of grace. May we plead his name, his merits. Oh, may it be he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. Oh, that we might be brought nigh and find access by the blood of Jesus. Oh, may we see the worth, the value in that precious name that thou hast given among men, the name of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, who can measure his love? Who can measure his merits? Oh, they are beyond counting. And Lord, we come and plead that thou would have mercy upon us and visit us here this night and bless us, Lord, with answers to our prayers for Jesus' sake. Lord, help us to pour out our hearts before thee. Grant us each that liberty, that access. Convince us, Lord, of our sins. Then lead us to Jesus Christ. Oh, that we might come to that blood-sprinkled mercy seat. And there pour out our hearts, that we might find that rest for our souls. Oh, do lead us into all truth. Open up our understanding. Lord, may we behold wondrous things out of thy law. As we read thy word, we pray that thou wilt apply it to our hearts. Lord, we pray that as we have the service before us, Lord, that it might please thee to be one in our midst, or that we may see no man save Jesus only. Oh, that we might come and find that acceptance in the Beloved. Lord, we pray that thou draw us to thyself. Draw us away from the earth. Draw us away from the things of time. And draw us to thyself. Lord, we do pray that thou overcome the weakness of our minds. Lord, that thou bless us with true living faith. Grant, Lord, that increase, we pray. And Lord, we ask that thou pour in the love of Christ. Oh, that we might be brought to consider him. Lord, as much in our lives, our nation, in the Church of God, which causes us concerns, and Lord, we fear the unknown way at times. We do pray that thou wilt lift our eyes, that we might look up and be found pressing onward. Lord, help us in this day in which we live. We do thank thee for the news of fewer cases than we've had. We do pray that the virus may lose its power. We pray that the vaccines may prove under thy gracious hand to be a blessing. Lord, we do pray that we may return to a normal and full worship once more in the house of God. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt appear for us in our nation. We pray that it might yet please thee still to be gracious, Lord, in bringing many to thy feet. Lord, we do pray that there may be many who are brought to a concern over their sin. Lord, that there might be thy work seen, and it might appear in our churches and in our land, that there might be many who are brought to return to the house of God, that the chapels may be filled. Lord, that there might be an outpouring of thy Spirit. Oh, we pray that thou revive thy work. Lord, do encourage us. Lord, may we be fervent and earnest in prayer. Lord, may we redeem the time, for the days are evil. Lord, we pray that thou lift up the light of thy countenance, and that thy light and truth might shine forth into this dark nation and in this dark day in which we live. Lord, as the many in our country are looking forward to resuming their many pleasures and sins, may it yet please thee to put thy hand upon them. Oh, do restrain the power of sin and Satan in our day. Do overturn the plans of wicked men and women. Grant, Lord, that it might yet please thee still to pour out thy blessing upon this nation. Leave us not, Lord, to be overcome with sin, but spare us, Lord, a remnant, and may there be that gracious increase and that revival in our day, that we may live to see better days here in this nation. Do help us then, we pray. Help us to continue. Lord, help the children. Be with them. Some, Lord, will be returning to school shortly. We pray thy gracious help and blessing upon them. We pray for those who continue with their home education. Do help them and the parents. Lord, do help us each. Those, Lord, in the workplace, keep them, hold them fast, keep them near to thee. Lord, that we might be lights shining in this dark world. Lord, do help that we may witness to the world around us the things of God. Oh, Lord, do keep us by thy grace day by day. Hold us up, Lord, lest we fall. Put strength in us, Lord. Be with our the older friends, those in midlife who bear the heat and burden of the day, those, Lord, with many pressures upon their time, many things to concern. Lord, may the concerns and needs of their souls break through the busyness of life, and that one thing needful be that earnest, urgent case. Oh Lord, we do pray, may we not be busy, so busy that we have no time, and not see the danger. Lord, we're living in this dying, changing world. Many things are uncertain, but Lord, that one thing is certain, that we will not live forever, and that one day we must stand before Thee. And Lord, what will we say? Oh, do prepare us for that great day. Oh, do wash away our sin. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us. Lord, make that way for us through this life and into heaven at last. Leave not our souls destitute. Leave us not to an outward form. Leave us not to just come and go backwards and forwards to the house of God. Leave us not unconcerned, untouched, unmoved. Oh, leave us not with a hard heart. But Lord, do soften our hearts. Oh, do send Thy word in power. May it enter in. Oh, may it be used for Thy honour and glory and for the good of our never-dying soul. Do bless the church and congregation. Build up the church here in their most holy faith. Be with the deacons and help them with the burdens of the office they bear. We pray for dear Benji and Lydia with the great sorrowful path, Lord, that they are walking. We pray that Thou draw near and uphold and bless and strengthen dear Lydia, and comfort her with the consolations of God, which are not small. Bless her with the riches of Thy grace. And, O Lord, do lead her to that comforter. The Holy Ghost. Oh, that it might be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do comfort the hearts of the family and use these things for the good of many souls. Lord, we do pray for the church. Build them up, we pray, in their most holy faith. Establish the younger, newer members. And grant, Lord, additions to the church, such as should be saved. Lord, we do pray, pour out Thy blessing upon this cause of truth. And Lord, may not a hoof be left behind at that great day. Bring in, Lord, we pray, from this neighbourhood. And grant, Lord, that Thy work might continue here till the end of time. Do help us now then as we turn to Thy word. And bless us, Lord, with an ear to hear and a heart to receive. And may there be those things for us to take home, to pray over, those things which will do us good. We ask all things, seeking the pardon and forgiveness of our every sin. We ask, Lord Jesus, in Thy name. Amen.
Hymn number 693. Lord, let me feel the unction of thy love to cheer my heart and set my mind above. Give me a precious glimpse of thy sweet face and make me gladly all thy will embrace. Hymn 693.
Me to the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12. And with the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 9. The second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12, and the 9th verse. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12, and the 9th verse. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is one of those few occasions where Paul writes about his own personal experience. At the beginning of this chapter 12, he speaks. He says of a man in Christ, he knew a man. Well, it seems clear that Paul is speaking of himself. And he speaks of what the Lord did 14 years previous to the writing of this epistle. And he speaks of being taken and caught up, he says, into the third heaven. This was remarkable. There's enough written by Paul for us to know this was a most unusual thing. So much so that it wasn't clear whether in the body or whether out of the body. But this was really Paul taken up to heaven. He heard things which he says it's not lawful for a man to speak, to utter. Beyond comprehension, beyond our language. But he said it was, this person was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. Oh, what a testimony. What a testimony. I wonder if you I'm sure you won't have, I better be careful, but I'm sure you won't have what Paul is speaking of here. But I do wonder if a few here this evening can testify of things that the Lord has done which are unspeakable. His unspeakable mercy. Oh, they are beyond our mind's capability to understand how and why he would give to us such tokens, such blessings. Christ being made precious when you can look to a time in your life where you had no regard to him and your feeling was, I will not have this man to reign over me. And yet, oh, to know that change, to be changed by the grace of God, to be brought nigh to Christ, to have this one who we despised now to be our all and in all. Oh, Paul spoke of that which was done. And then he says this, lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations there were given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds? As the Lord, so balancing you, keeping you in that right place. You know, beloved friends, that the Lord is very gracious, very merciful, and he knows how to lead his children, as that good shepherd, he knows how to lead them through this sinful world. He knows all about our hearts. He knows what we're like, what our character is like, what our disposition is like, what our inclinations are like. He knows the power of Satan. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he knows what it is to be tempted. Oh, and he can succor us in our temptations. But in the leading of his people, at times he sees fit to give them a thorn in the flesh. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, we're not charging the Lord with giving the messenger of Satan, but really the sense of it is in that the Lord's dealings with Job, there's a restraining power. The Lord is almighty and he has a restraining hand. And at times, he permits Satan, he permits him to come in closer than at other times. And there is those buffetings. And Paul, he opens up about these personal things that he had. We're not told what this particular thorn in the flesh was. People have speculated, but that's not for us this evening. But what we know, what was he felt it to be? The messenger of Satan to buffet him. It was grievous to him. I wonder if you know something of these thorns in your flesh. The messenger of Satan buffeting you. Oh, how he delights to discourage, seeks to hinder, seeks to disrupt. Oh, how he likes to work, if he can, havoc in our lives. Bring us into places where we're at wit's end corner. Bring us into places where, except the Lord be with us, well, we'd be guilty of all sorts of things, wouldn't we? The messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he says this, there was a cause, there was a purpose, lest I should be exalted above measure. It had the effect, dampened his spirit. It had a subduing effect upon Paul. He was greatly favoured, greatly blessed. Oh, but he had a heavy burden to bear. This thorn in his flesh. And there was a reason. It was not without its purpose. Is there not a cause? Oh, we read, didn't we, in the chapter 13, examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Examine yourselves. Well, may the Lord bless us with a spirit of self-examination this evening. Maybe there are those things that feel to be a thorn in your flesh. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a circumstance. A trial, a difficulty. Maybe it's an affliction. A weakness in your flesh. Something that's come upon you. Is there not a cause? What is it? What is it? Is it the messenger of Satan? It's there to buffet you. It's there because you're you're walking the right way. It's there in opposition against you. It's there to put up a hindrance if it could. The messenger of Satan. Or is it? Is there a voice of the Lord in it? Or is this for correction? Spirit of self-examination. Why has this come upon me? Why has this trouble come upon me? Why has this affliction? Why has my family been touched? Why has my job been touched? What is the cause? Is there something particular? Oh, may we heed the rod, and who hath appointed it? May the Lord help us. May he draw us to himself, to that throne of grace. It's what Paul did. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times. Oh, how needful sometimes we are of these thorns in the flesh to stir up real prayer. Oh, our daily form of worship becomes more earnest, more fervent. The usual list of the things we ask for in prayer are taken to a side, and there's a need. Oh, there's something. There's a hard thing. The cause, said Moses, the cause that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. Well, may you hear greater than Moses. Our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, speak the cause that is too hard for thee. That thing which is too great, that burden which is too heavy, that trouble which is too large, those things that you don't understand, those things that are overwhelming you, bring them unto me. I will hear it. Oh, it is that which is acceptable, isn't it? A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And it's right, dear friend. It's right to ask for it to be removed. You may not get it removed, but you may. And who knoweth the mind of the Lord? Paul says, I prayed three times that it might be removed. So if words mean anything, he prayed at least twice before he got an answer. And the third time of praying, he had his answer. And so it is, isn't it? It is to knock, and to knock, and to knock. And like Elijah said to his servant on Mount Carmel, go again seven times. There's nothing, said the servant. There's nothing. Go again seven times. Keep going. Keep looking. Keep praying. Go again seven times. And then when he went, it's a cloud the size of a man's hand. A small token, a small thing in the distance. In a cloudless sky, there's a small cloud. It's enough. It's enough. The Lord's begun to hear. The Lord has spoken. It's enough. Oh, but it's that continuing in prayer. Oh, it is that knocking at that door. It's importunate prayer. It's giving him no rest. You may have to wait, but you will receive an answer. You will receive an answer. Praying in faith, pleading with the Lord, you will receive an answer. It may not be the answer you expect. He may not answer you in the way you think he will, or the way maybe you hoped for, you wished for. But you will get an answer. And Paul got his answer. And he said unto me. Well, there's some sweetness in that, isn't there? He said unto me. Did he say, Paul, the thorn's done its work? It'll be removed according to your prayer. No, he didn't. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's the answer. That's the reply. That's in reply to, Lord, remove this thorn. Take away this which is hurtful, which is cutting, which is grievous, which I feel I can't bear, which I feel I need removed, which I feel I can't go on with, continue with day by day. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, then, what an answer that is. My grace is sufficient for thee. The burden that I've laid upon you, the pathway I've called you to walk, the thorn that is sticking hard in your flesh, there's grace sufficient. Oh, I've not given you more than I can bear you up in. I've not put on you more than I can carry you up in. You will carry the burden, and I will carry you. You will bear it, and I will bear you up in it. You must carry it. Paul, this is needful for you. Dear friend, this evening, this is needful for you. Because he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. There's a fullness in Christ Jesus. Though there is everything that is needed, Paul could go on. Paul could continue. Paul had strength to endure. Paul goes on to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities? Glory in that infirmity, in the weakness of his flesh, in the weakness of his strength. He'll glory in that because his Lord and Saviour has said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Your grace isn't sufficient. My grace isn't sufficient. But the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how all sufficient. Oh, what a fullness there is in Jesus Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. This is the all-sufficient grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, there's a fullness in Christ Jesus. Oh, there is everything. And there was everything that Paul needed to go on to the end of his days with that thorn in his flesh. There was everything Paul needed to endure steadfast to the end. There was all that Paul needed in Christ Jesus so that he might withstand the days of temptation, withstand the bitter things that he had to bear. There was a fullness in Christ Jesus. My grace is sufficient for thee. And more, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, it's right and proper and agreeable that you feel weak. Now the Lord Jesus is, he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, what a great blessing it is that in heaven now, sitting at the Father's right hand, is Jesus Christ, the glorious God-man, our mediator. He is in heaven and he can be touched. Your prayers, poor sinner, can touch his sympathizing heart. Oh, what a wondrous privilege prayer is. What a glorious gift it is. Oh, what access, what liberty we may have at the throne of grace, God helping us. When he brings the person of his Son before our view, and how we may pour out our hearts before him, because he knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to be tired. Oh, he knows. He knows. He has borne. He's endured more than we have and will ever do. He endured, didn't he? Paul, writing to the Hebrews, says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Oh, consider him. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, then, Paul, you're perfect. Your case is suits a deliverer, a sustainer, a helper. Your case, your weakness, your felt sense of frailty and need, my strength is perfectly displayed. Perfectly displayed in your case and in the case of every poor, needy, tempted, burdened sinner that comes and seeks for that grace to continue, that help to continue, that strength to continue. Oh, the mercy of our God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Oh, there, dear friends, is a loving encouragement for us. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, given all that's been revealed, all that's been spoken, all that I've been shown, all that the Lord has taught me, all that I've had to bear, all that I've had to bring before the throne of grace, all that I've had to pour out before him, all that he has said in reply, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. There's strong language. Oh, may we know something of this. May we seek that same grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to be in us. It is, isn't it? To have Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. We need that enabling grace of our Lord Jesus. That grace, oh, that we might have some of it in measure. He had grace to continue to the end. He had grace to endure the pathway that was set before him. He had grace to submit himself to the will of God. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, there is more than an example. Beloved friends, there are those things to seek in prayer. Grant me some of that same spirit of resignation, that same, in measure, that same spirit of humility. Not my will, but thine be done. To lay aside our wants, our wishes. We come, don't we? So often in our minds, as we come to prayer, we've traced out not just what we need, but then we go on to tell the Lord how to do it, how to bring it about, when to do it, what to do, what the outcome will be. Sometimes the Lord is merciful, and we find that we've been praying according to his will. And so it is. Other times there's a humbling of us at the throne of grace. We think we've come low at his feet. And as we receive the answer, we realize we're brought to see we have to go a little lower to then go away. Oh, we've sought for the thorn in the flesh to be removed, the problem to be gone away, the issue to be dealt with, the hard thing to be overcome. And we have to go away, having prayed that the Lord will help us to bear it. Give us grace to bear it. Give us strength to bear it. change our will, our mind, that we might be willing, made willing to endure it. How often we feel hard done by at times, maybe harshly treated. And then the Lord Jesus appears. Though in our minds we're brought to consider him and what we're asking for. Oh, we're brought to lay ourselves, our mouths in the dust. Oh, what thy wisdom sees most fit. This hasn't taken the Lord by surprise. There's nothing new. There's nothing unknown. Everything is working out his purpose. Everything is fulfilling his wise and gracious will and counsel. Your life and my life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. And what thy wisdom sees most fit, surely must be best for me, must be good for me, must be the right way for me. Help me, Lord, to come to terms with it. Help me to humble myself. Help me to seek that grace, that I don't rise up in rebellion. I don't kick against these pricks. These thorns in the flesh, they're pricking you. And oh, we want to kick against them at times. But to lay passive, lay submissive, to know no will but thine. Now this is, you say this is, these are high things. Out of reach of us, are they? Are they, dear friends? Oh, the same Lord and Saviour, sitting, hearing, answering prayer. Oh, he's able to strengthen Paul. He's able to strengthen you. Oh, your will has to be bent to his. He'll bend it. You need a spirit of obedience. Seek it. Oh, pray for it. Make me willing. Make me obedient. Make me submissive. Make me Christ-like. To be conformed to the image of his dear Son. Lord, change our hearts. Take away the rebellion. Take away our minds which would resist and fight against his will. Lord, overcome us in love, in mercy, and bring us to submission. This is a loving, gracious response, wasn't it? Probably wasn't at first the answer Paul hoped to get. He was praying for it to be removed. That's what he hoped to have. A removal of it. But Paul, oh, he was able to go on. And what Paul learned from it, what Paul understood from it, I believe there was more done in the keeping of that thorn and the upholding promise underneath, holding Paul up, than there would have been if he had removed it. Because daily, you see, daily, Paul had to seek for grace to continue. And that thing that's in your life at the present, pray that it will be removed. But if it's the Lord's will, that you must bear it, you must carry it. And beloved friends, there are some bitter things at times, and some hard things to understand, and some things that left to the natural mind would seem harsh. Pray the Lord will speak this word into your heart. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And, oh, rather than a few days of great thanksgiving and rejoicing, once the thorn is removed, and then in a few weeks have forgotten what it was like, and you felt you thanked and rejoiced enough over it, now you've got to pray, day by day, Lord, help me. Help me to get up in the morning. Help me to face another day. Help me to continue through today. Help me that I might not be left to myself to speak an unguarded word, to murmur under these trying strokes of thine. When I feel affliction's rod, be still and know that thou art God. Help me that I might not be bitter. Lord, may I profit from it. May I know more of thyself. Oh, may I be led nearer and nearer to thee. Oh, make thyself more precious day by day, more needful every moment, every hour. Sometimes bodily afflictions, as you get older, the harder they are to bear. Oh, may I find an increase day by day of grace, of the love of God, of the strengthening of my inner man. That though my flesh is perishing, my inner man is renewed and strengthened and enlivened day by day. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities and praise the hand that dealt me that, and bless the hand that opened it upon me, and thank him for it. And you can say with the psalmist, it has been good for me to be afflicted. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. The power to uphold. The strength of God in my heart. Faith strengthened. A knowledge of God increased. Our faith swelling ever so slightly day by day as he proves again. Oh, there's strength tomorrow. There's manna tomorrow. There's food tomorrow. There's a supply of grace tomorrow. There's your strength for tomorrow when tomorrow comes. Oh, and you can write your tried and proved. Paul says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. That's a paradox, isn't it? When I am weak, then am I strong. It doesn't make sense. Outside of the word of God, does it really? When I am weak, when I feel I can't go on, when I feel that the journey is too great for me, when I feel I can't continue, when I feel the way is too hard, too difficult, too rough, he says, then I'm strong. Why? Because I'm leaning on all-sufficient grace. I'm leaning hard on him. Oh, I'm casting my care upon him. Oh, I'm having to commit my way to him. I have to seek daily for him. In my weakness, I have to turn to him. Oh, he's so blessed me that he makes me turn to him every day. Oh, what a favour it is to be brought to the throne of grace. And sometimes we need to be forced there. And sometimes we need to be brought there through trouble and affliction. Oh, but who cannot but praise the God of all grace, the God of all comfort, that brings us to himself. And we come and we find access. And we find a way, access to God. We find a place by him, a place where we can come and pour out our hearts. And we find him, a prayer hearing and prayer answering God. When I am weak, then I am strong, because I'm clinging and cleaving to him. I'm not walking in my own strength, in my own wisdom. I'm walking in dependence upon him. I'm casting my care upon him. I'm proving each day that he cares for me. Oh, may the Lord so bless us that we know what it is to have that close walk with him. A close walk with God. A life of faith and prayer. Earnestly, urgently, calling upon him day by day. Oh, clinging, cleaving to him. And seeking that he will be our strength. Be our deliverer. Be at our right hand. And take us and lead us. Lead us safely through. There's a beautiful word in Isaiah 54. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Oh, he's bringing the blind by a way that they knew not. He's leading them in paths that they have not known. Oh, he said, call upon me in a day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And here we have, before us this evening, a sinner glorifying God and praising him who has led him and supported him and comforted him and helped him that he would endure to the end. He says, I will never leave thee. I will never leave thee. Oh, my grace is sufficient for thee, and it's forever. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You can depend on that. It's his word. Oh, may you live to prove it. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parish will preach to us next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach to us on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 580. My soul with holy wonder views the love the Lord the Saviour shows to wretched, dying man. So strange, so boundless is his grace, he takes the vilest of our race with him to live and reign. Hymn 580.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.